Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just a quick little message before the episode begins. Do you love Comedy Arcade? Of course you do. Do you wish you could see it live? You're not a mug? Of course you do. Well, good news. You can. We are at Leicester Comedy Festival on the 21st of February running a terrifyingly live panel for the first ever time. What's going to happen? I don't know. And I can't even edit it. It's going to be scary. It's going to be exciting. You should definitely be there. Alongside our absolute faves, Tom Tuck, Esith Sears, and returning champion, Sakisa, you can also catch for the very first time the comedy icon that is Mark Watson. It is almost suspiciously cheap at £5. You can get your tickets from Leicester Comedy Festival. Please come and join me. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting. Right then, let's get started. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, which is part panel show, part chat show. Hopefully all fun. The responsibility for that is on the guests. Fortunately, I have some absolutely brilliant people in today. So we'll start off with the improv warrior that is Kate McCabe. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. I am warrioring every day.
That's fine, that's wood.
Yeah. keeping it fresh.
That DJ background was always going to come back and kick in.
Yes, I know. I should change it. Hang on. Choose virtual background.
This is a great experience for people who are just listening.
I'm in a restaurant.
That's
now
a
I'm,
nice looking restaurant.
Oh,
Iron Man's Hall of Armor.
Well, yep. Brilliant. Strong start. Strong audible sensation that was.
I'm always thinking about the listener.
And next up, we have the nautical but nice comedy legend that is Zoe Lyons. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Nautical because of my red beanie. Again, the listener won't be able to see this, but we can hear about it.
It's just a vibe that you're giving off, though.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not an outfit.
I live by the sea, and I'm looking like Jacques Cousteau. So this is what I'm going for in lockdown 3, 80-year-old underwater explorer. That's what I'm going for.
Perfect. Absolutely Popeye. Nailed it.
Or what? Popeye.
In the shape of water, right?
Yeah, that's probably more likely, actually, yeah. Just, yeah, badly tattooed and eating spinach, yeah.
And next to we've got our very own Olive Oil, standard issue editor and all-around dreamboat that is Mickey Noonan. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Well, given that this morning my day started with me thinking I had genuinely shot a spider, and now I am talking to you three legends.
Come back to that.
There was a spider in your toilet?
Yeah, Gary had found a dead spider and just thrown it in the bowl.
You didn't realise it was previously there. You were like, oh my God, it happens. They do crawl into your nose and mouth when you're asleep.
Shatnophobic.
You got it the wrong way around, though. You got to check the toilet first because spiders want to get up your backside. That's why you have to check the toilet.
I just clenched and I'm not even on a toilet, to be clear. This is
one of my secret fears.
Oh, I thought you were very much talking from experience there, Kate.
So it's an irrational fear, quite frankly, except for like in lockdown one, there was a daddy long legs in my toilet bowl. And I only saw it because I did my like precursory, like, is there an alligator in my toilet that's going to bite my butt? And
I never think that.
Oh,
I think
you?
No.
Should you always find stories from, usually from the Far East, of somebody who's had part of their undercarriage nibbled by a python because it's gone through their YouTubes.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what the Far East has got. What British people have got is, I went to the toilet and then a baby came out. Those people that have been stealth pregnant. Those stories were terrifying for me as a teenager.
There was one just recently on ambulance or something like that. And she had no idea. And she was in, I think, the Britannia, which is Manchester's worst hotel.
Oh, yes.
And gave birth in the Britannia, which raised the star rating.
Did she call it Britannia?
Actually, I don't know. No, she did not. She was there for a Harry Potter convention. So it wound up something Harry Potter-esque.
I really want to see
that. I've got a lot of questions about that whole scenario.
TripAdvisor, 3 stars.
Yeah. Bathroom was so good I gave birth.
Yeah, was it a great trip? I was impregnated by the excitement of the hotel. Right, I've got a bingo ball full of topics here. I'm going to generate them at random, just in case you haven't read the rules. No boys ever do. So I have to reiterate them each time, because also no boys want to admit they haven't, but it becomes clear over the course of the recording. So, yes. Mm-hmm. I will be generating topics at random. You will be jumping in with your high quality anecdotes, and I will be judging them in a scoring system that even I don't understand. Right, let's go. It's a really satisfying sound, actually.
Okay. Oh, that's lovely.
And the category is the worst job you've ever done. And it can be the worst job that you've ever experienced or the job you've done the worst at. It's very ambiguous.
I've got a pretty bad job to lead off if no one else wants to jump in. When I was in high school, a couple years, when I would come home from university in the summertime, you look forward to the summertime, you think, I'll get a reasonable job, but then I'll be catching up with my pals and go to the beach and chill out, and my mom does my laundry, aces. But I got a job via nepotism, which is the worst way to use it, in a meat packing factory. It was a meat factory at large. And
so someone pulled strings for you to get that job.
Exactly, which is why it was the wrong, that's who I knew. People in the hot dog industry.
Do you think that had any impact on the life choices you made after? Or?
I think it messed up my shoulder a bit. I think that's the lasting impact. I worked in, it wasn't like a slaughterhouse. It was like it dealt with the stuff once it had. So it made things like roasts and hams and hot dogs and things. And there was the kitchen and there was the packing cooler. And I worked the packing cooler, which was, a degree or two above absolute freezing. So I'd get up on a roasting hot summer day, put on double layers, drive my car. And I had to be there at 6. You would work from 6 in the morning until about 3 in the afternoon. But it was such manual work in a freezer that I'd just be shattered at the end of it. And all my summer days were basically spent working from 6 until 3 and then falling asleep during Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon at 4:30 and not hanging out and being cool. I had one morning experience where I woke up and in my dream I had died, and I woke up and I still thought I was dead. And then once I came to full alertness, I was disappointed that I wasn't dead.
Was there a smell?
I was wondering that.
Yeah. Did it have a meaty, sawdusty smell?
Yes. Yes. It was imagine if you were in a sauna, but also in the sauna, it was freezing and there were 500 open packs of hot dogs.
Oh, I've been in that sauna. Yeah, Berlin, 1992, I think. Yeah.
Is that the one you have to be naked?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called
a lot of breakfast that holiday.
You take your sports bra off after a run in the summer. It's that kind of meaty smell.
Yeah. Yes. It's definitely boob sweat in the, there were some local regional dishes, or regional to us, because we had a lot of Polish and German immigrants in the area. And it was dishes called kiszka and saus. And it was just sort of a loaf of meat, but boob sweat definitely could have been in there, Mickey, for sure.
Were you popular that summer, Kate?
Post shower, I was okay to be around, but very docile.
Did you have any Rocky moments where you were just like punching the slabs of ham?
You know what the moments I had was, leave me alone, I started listening to audiobooks at work. I'd be packing the hot dogs and listening to, like, I don't know who I was listening to. I think it was like Patrick McCabe at the time, the Butcher Boy or something, ironically.
Did you steal the products? Because I'm always, it's the only reason to have a job is to steal shit from, isn't it? That's the only...
This is it.
Yeah, yeah, more evidence that comedians can't do other jobs. Honestly, no,
we just because you know anything where there's a stealing opportunity, and I quite like a hot dog, so I'd be leaving with a gusset full of hot dogs, which sounds like a punk band from the 80s. But
people think that like the experience would have turned me vegetarian, but I can't lie, the products that they churned out were quite good.
It's quite tasty.
Yeah. Is it like when my stepdad used to work in the Swizzle sweet factory in New Mills, and when you first started, you basically had free rein on everything apart from the Brazil nuts. You could absolutely knock yourself sick, and you could eat as much as you wanted. And then within 3 days, apparently no one wanted to steal anymore. Was it hot dogs?
That's good company policy. You were allowed to eat hot dogs from at lunch. Like you could go and take the hot dogs and have them for lunch if you wanted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's not a terrible job. I mean, it's not.
It was good money for like somebody coming back from uni. At the time, it was like $10 an hour or something. And I'm 900 years old, so this was in like 1822.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good money. Yeah. Worst job I ever. Oh God, I worked on a banana farm.
Brilliant.
In Queensland, Australia.
What is it with the lesbians having fancy food jobs?
Yeah.
I thought that, but only one thing could say it.
We just love an overall.
And a phallic product.
Hot dogs, bananas.
What's going on here? Yes.
Well, I did work in a dildo factory in Detroit. No, I worked at a banana farm in Tully, Queensland for 2 months, and it was without doubt the worst job I've ever had in my entire life. The way you got the job was you had to turn up to the post, you had to stand outside the post office at 5 a.m. in the morning, and farmers would come and pick you, very much like a sort of auction.
I hate that.
Yeah. And for the first 2 days, it was me and my then girlfriend. We didn't get chosen at all. And then eventually, I think some farmer took pity on us and picked us up and took us to his place to work. And he sort of took a shining to her. And
this sounds like the start of a horror film.
Yeah, it was borderline horror film. He gave her quite a good job. He gave her the job of making the boxes on the banana farm. So all she had to do all day was stand up in the sort of rafters of this outhouse making boxes, just pushing these boxes through. Clearly he didn't have the same feelings of amorousness towards me, because I was given the job of picking the dead rats, frogs and spiders out of the banana bath, which is a massive trough of water that the bananas used to get put into as they came out of the paddock. And then I'd have to turn them over, get rid of the cockroaches, the frogs. And then every now and again, because bananas grow like hands, obviously upwards like that, they are perfect, perfect resting places for snakes. So every now and again, they'd cut a hand of bananas off and somebody'd shout, get on your stools, girls! And we'd all have to get on our stools as a fucking snake just went right through us all. And then,
Poisonous? Was it, I mean, poisonous?
The tree snakes aren't poisonous there, but they're still a snake. Yeah. It's the taipans that you had to be worried about. The taipans would attack a car.
Oh my God.
I kid you not, they would rise up and attack a car if you drove at them.
Is the taipan a snake?
Taipan is one of the world's most deadly snakes, and they're incredibly venomous. But not only are they venomous, but they're really narky. Like, they are really aggressive. Like, normally people say, actually, he's more scared of you than you are of him. With a taipan, does not give a shit. And I was with a farmer one day, and he went, I had a taipan rise up in front of the Land Rover yesterday and try to attack me in it. I mean, they will just go for you.
Yeah.
And it took me ages because one of the farmers kept going, just look out for the Jimmy Blakes. And I'm going, Jimmy Blake, Jimmy Blake. What's a Jimmy Blake? Jimmy Blake. It must be rhyming slang for something. What is a Jimmy Blake? It took me ages to go, oh, it's snakes. Cockney rhyming slang in a danger zone.
What?
And I worked with a lady called Snake Lady, and she worked in front of me, and she used to keep a pillowcase beside her. And I was like, what's in the pillowcase? And why do they call a snake lady? And she had a pillowcase beside her and an empty milk carton. And when the bananas came around, she'd pick off the little tree frogs, right, and put it in the milk carton. And then she'd turn to me with her three teeth and go, that's for snakey later. And at lunchtime, she used to empty the carton of frogs into the pillowcase, which would then just fly all over the place. It took me ages to work out. She kept a snake in a pillowcase and fed it frogs at lunchtime.
Now I have a new thing to check before I go to bed.
Yeah, there you go. You're welcome, Kate. You're welcome.
Yeah, but there is so much to unpick in that story. But my favorite thing was the way you made it sound like the bananas are a live animal when you were like, when the bananas came in from the paddock.
Just walked in.
They walk in like that.
To be honest, though, they were so crawling with life, they could have walked in on their own at that point. There was everything in them. Everything.
Do you hate bananas now?
No, but I have a respect for them. and I tell you why. Because a banana is a bloody dangerous fruit, right? Because when they're not ripe, their skins are incredibly like bark. They're really bark-like. So when you go and pick them up, they can splinter into your fingernails. So it's really, so you've constantly got these banana skin splinters under your fingernails, and they ooze sap. So the whole town where I worked was stained brown. Like everybody who lived and worked in the town was permanently stained brown because of the sap that comes out of these banana skins when they're that raw, when they're that fresh. And it took, I would say, 3 months to get rid of the banana evidence from my hands.
Why did you go there?
We were traveling around Australia. We needed a job, and we didn't get a job on the courgette farm.
Just by the way, I've just written down dangerous fruit as a name for my motorcycle gang. So
there you go. Very barky banana.
Yeah. Nikki, any jobs to speak of? That I feel like that is the worst job I've heard so far in all the recording. So
I don't know how to follow that unless I had some sort of, I don't know, vicious table. I worked in a horrific table factory where they were all a bit bitey, but I didn't. I did work in an old man's pub on a Sunday night, and I got the job thus. I was a bit drunk in the pub doing the pub quiz on a Monday night, and I said to my then boyfriend, oh, I could do with a job. I reckon I could work here. So I said to the owner, you got any jobs going? And he looked me up and down and went, we could do with a brunette. Can you start on Sunday? that was a key. It was a clue as to how it was all going to go down. Sunday in the old man's pub was karaoke night. And the first time you hear a 74-year-old sing Chef Suck on My Chocolate Salty Balls, it is it is hilarious. But when he does it every single week, it gets tiresome. And they all called me Cher. So, yeah. it wasn't as dangerous as Zoe's.
Has its own dangers, I think.
Different dangers.
Equally as unpleasant, perhaps.
Yes.
There was one guy called Rupert, and he would do a different Elton John number every week, but it was always Elton John, and he wore ridiculously long scarf so he could twirl. And this guy looked like, you know, if he said to a cartoonist, draw me an elderly nerd, and they'd do like the anorak and the glasses and the pasted down hair with the little carrier bag. And bless him, he came and he would pelt one out, and then he'd always go, marks out with 10, girls, marks out with 10. And
oh, like, God, no.
Nine, Rupert, please leave me alone.
Was he actually good at singing at all?
No. What my story made you think that I was like, stars in your eyes.
I tell you what, there's a lot of emotional labor that women go through in places of employment where they force themselves to laugh at men's jokes.
Oh God.
Yeah, open miking.
Yeah.
That was my whole life for a year. Yeah. Politely laughing and not having it reciprocated ever.
Yes.
And the shit you have to put up with, the stuff. One day on this banana farm, I remember this guy came up to my girlfriend and I and went, guys, rumour has it you're gay. And we went, oh, right, okay, fine, fair enough.
Thanks for letting us know.
And he went, listen, I want to let you know, I don't mind at all, but if you are, can I watch?
Oh, no!
I hope you got one of the bananas and just snapped it right in front of him.
Turned out he was an excellent cameraman.
We've only got through one category. Right. Did 20 minutes on that one.
Nice.
And the ball is embarrassing injuries.
Oh, let me tell you about the third time I broke my nose.
Okay.
Okay. So the embarrassing injuries was when I walked into work the next day with a broken nose and two black eyes. And my boss / best mate went, how did the date go? ups and downs. So I've been to a gig with a boy I was seeing, and it was a very, very bouncy gig. It was really fun. It was, I think they were called We're From Barcelona, or I'm From Barcelona, one of the two. Anyway, and I'd had 8 pints. Now,
yes.
I'm quite well, a slow woman, though. Yes. 8 pints is like 6 too many pints for me, really. And up north, it had been snowing and it was very icy. And so we were bouncing and I had my hands in my pockets and I was bouncing, bounced on some ice, went down, nose broke my fall. We were walking through a car park at the time, and it was one of those where there's a little spiky bits when you're coming out to make sure that you don't go the wrong way, and that hit my nose.
No!
And my beau was a little bit in front of me, and he heard me go, oh, because that was emotional. No. And he turned
got really hot.
Oh, all right. And I was like, I think I've hurt my nose, which is by now just pissing blood.
Hanging off.
And he looks at me and he goes, shit, Mick, we need to get you to the casino. And I went, yeah.
What?
Because the casino was there and we joined the week earlier so we could go late.
Broken nose lucky or something? What?
Yeah, no, she'd had all her bad luck. She was due a lucky break.
So we walk in, I'm still like bleeding everywhere, and they go, have you got your membership card? And I'm like, okay. Get our membership cards out. We go straight to the toilet and Smirk is helping me like clean up my nose. And this woman walks in and she looks at him and she looks at me and he goes, I didn't hit her. And I'm like, it didn't hit me. And she says, gives him a tenner and she says, right, get her a brandy. Told him what she was drinking and you get yourself a beer. So he trots off and she goes to me, all right. And she's helping me and she goes, you think you've had a bad night? I'm with a right cunt. I'm so sorry.
What a legend.
She helps me out for a bit. Smirk comes back with the drinks. She totters off. And then about 10 minutes later, we're thrown out by the security guards for having a boy in the girls' bathroom.
Oh!
We're walking out with my nose covered in tissue. We walk past her and she waves at me and then she goes, this is him.
Did he look it?
This is that kind I was talking about.
I was in no position to judge. So, that was a fairly embarrassing, but also what a story I got out of that injury. And also a permanent wonk, because instead of going to hospital, I just went to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh. I like your nose. Good job you did that, because it's a good nose.
I've also got a nose breaky story.
Okay.
Go on.
Yeah. And I have a fairly big, I mean, it's a significant hooter anyway. But I think, I've got...
I don't know, I think I would win.
Everybody's profiles right now. I've got my father's nose.
Okay. Great content for the listeners.
Yeah.
And also, Kate's nose disappears into her background.
Oh, because I have a background right now. I'm so like Voldemorting.
Full Voldemort.
How did you do yours?
Right, so last February, I too have broken it previously. But last February, I did the Brighton Half Marathon, which I often do here. And then, like an absolute dick, went out afterwards with my mates and got properly pissed. Like you do, you know, after you're like, I've been so sporty, let's go and properly. We were properly drunk in a pub in Brighton. So pissed we were drawing on each other's faces. That's
brilliant.
Yeah. I'm in my late 40s.
It's a very specific level.
Yeah. Very, very drunk, where somebody somehow found a felt tip pen. We were like, let's draw on the faces. Draw on faces. And we got a taxi home that night, and I, very drunk, I left the taxi. Unfortunately, my feet didn't. And so it seems like only the upper half of my body got the message that we were exiting the taxi, whereas my feet had comprehensively fallen asleep. And I fell out of the taxi straight onto my face, and very much like Mickey, just absolutely broke the fall with mine. And it was a disaster. It was a disaster. And I'm also blood phobic, so I immediately, it bled very badly, and then I fainted in the street.
Oh no.
And two young passers-by had to help me home into the house. Anyway, I had to go to A&E the following day because it was quite bad. That was quite, my other half's a nurse, and even she was like, that is really not good. And she put like a plaster across my, like a sort of cartoon X. You know what I mean? Like, she was also drunk and not capable of bandaging it. So she literally put one plaster from one cheek to one eyebrow and then the other, like a proper X on my face.
Like a treasure map to boom.
Like a treasure map to disaster. And I went to A&E and we waited there for hours. And then I finally got in, and a very sort of sulky, you know, understandably sulky A&E doctor saw me like, oh God, what have you done? You know, and I said, look, I said, I was trying to be all earnest. I went, yesterday I ran the Brighton Half Marathon.
Nice.
For charity.
Good lead.
For charity. And went out after. Had a couple of drinks. I think I must have had very low blood pressure or something because I just fell. And this happened. And she was like, okay. And I could see it in her eyes. She was like, bullshit. She was like, I'm calling bullshit. And she sort of patched it up and glued it back together and then looked me in the face and went, if you do this again, I would very much suggest that you really consider your post-race procedures. And I went, yes, absolutely. You know, like an athlete. Yes, absolutely. And then I left. And as I left, I looked in the window as I left and I realised I still had a felt tip moustache.
Oh, wow. You drink.
Very, very much evidence.
Wow. Cover blown.
Just a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
I had a couple. I look like David Niven with a broken nose.
Oh, my God.
It's extraordinary.
It's so easy to get drunk when you've been running, though. And if you've done a big race and then you have a couple of pints, you are pissed immediately.
To be honest, Megan, it was more than a couple of pints. Because it was one of those nights where somebody goes, Jaeger Bobs!
I love that you're trying to make excuses, but Zoe's not having it.
It was very, very bad behaviour. Still hurts. It's nearly a year ago and it still bloody hurts.
When it's cold, mine aches.
Like, yeah. It's got a lump there now. Yep, it's same. Not, yeah. Oh, and the other thing was,
Kate looks like horrified.
I'm so afraid.
4 days after I did this, so I still had the black eyes and I had the cut, like a very evident cut on my face. I was filming QI for the first time. So I was in the makeup room and they were like, are you okay? I was like, I tripped and fell. So I did my first episode of QI with two black eyes and a very evident broken nose.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did they manage to cover it up pretty well?
You couldn't really put makeup on it because it was like an open wound.
You're like, ow!
So I had, and that episode was called something like Rough and Ready and they had me in boxing gloves. So it actually looked like it was quite apt, but
very agile thinking on the part.
Very good of you to commit, I think.
Very much committed.
Kate, did you have an embarrassing injury?
I have an embarrassing injury that involves me going over the handlebars of my bike into a canal.
Oh, this is fantastic. Come on, then.
So briefly, like I was living in Fairport, New York City for the summer. I was waiting tables at my brother-in-law's restaurant. My sister, my brother-in-law were kind of running this old historic property. And it was on the Erie Canal, which is a famous canal in America. You know, the width of a river, you know, lots of sort of production and you know, productive kind of like ports and things and interesting things on it. But it isn't known for being sort of like Lake Erie and the Erie Canal, not known for being sort of like the cleanest waterway in America. It's better now, but historically it's been a mess because of all the industry on it. Anyway, there's a bike trail. So my brother-in-law and I were on a day off and he lent me a bike. And he, before we went on the bike ride, adjusted the seat level so I'd have like proper leg extension because he's a biker. and that meant like proper leg extension for people who don't bike athletically is like when your feet can't touch the ground, basically. Yeah. Like you have to tilt your bike so that you can put your foot on the ground. Anyway, I'm biking on the canal and he notices that the chain has come loose on the bike and he goes, oh, pull over onto the embankment and I'll fix your chain for you. And I go over to the embankment, but then I can't stop the bike because my feet can't touch the ground. And then I just bike into the canal. And I went over the handlebars, but I held onto the bike because I'm like, this ain't my bike. This is a borrowed bike. So I'm sinking like to the bottom of the canal with the bike. Kept it in my hand. The worst part of the story is I had to bike back like a mile in canal drenched clothes. And on a hot day, my brother-in-law then made me go to the side of the restaurant that wasn't facing the street and strip off on the patio before coming in because food cleanliness, like he's a chef, he's like, you're not bringing canal water into the house. I'm sorry to say, you need to strip out here. I'll give you a towel and then you can go upstairs to the show.
Oh my God. Yeah. Were you fully submerged?
Yes.
Oh shit.
Yeah, still holding on.
Yeah, and holding on to a bike that I was trying to
rescue. Did you smell worse than when you worked at the hot dog factory?
That's a very good question. I'm probably not the best person to answer it.
You're the one we've got though, Kate.
Yeah. We've not got phone a friend on this.
No, I think hot dog factory, because it permeates for such a long period of time and it has a film. Like a greasy film. Yeah.
Wow. I'm always terrified. My other half's Dutch, and we used to go to Amsterdam quite a bit, and just always terrified of cycling into a canal. There's no way you can style yourself out of that, is there? There's no sort of, if you trip on a pavement, you can sort of run out of it and like but cycling into a canal is a very definite bold move.
And that is something to be afraid of now, because
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to fear so far from this podcast.
I told you, therapy arcade. It's fine.
Many casinos.
Okay, ball number 21 is weddings. Anyone got a good wedding
story? New balls. Let's do a new ball.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't get to get married, so I'm annoyed. It's not a great topic.
Right, let's do it.
Weddings are just shit, aren't they?
I don't know. I'd quite like to have mine. Maybe.
All of them except yours and mine.
Yes, those weddings are fine. We'll keep those. Personal deal breakers. What makes you write a person off?
I think
when I lend them my best bike and they ride it into a.
When somebody keeps breaking up with me, I'm like, no, I'm done now. Stop breaking up with me.
Yeah, that should be a relationship deal breaker, to be fair. But just in general, any habits that you see somebody, like a new colleague, and you're like, nah, we're not going to be friends. I can think of one now, but they might listen to this, so I can't say. Oh, what kind of
misuse of cutlery?
Like using a knife and fork to
cut tree, or Kate, to the entire United States. But
no, I do it the British way now.
Yeah, I just find it fascinating that the USA is a superpower, yet nobody in the USA can use a knife and fork. I just find that
it is weird. We create extra steps. I think it's because Americans think it looks more polite to cut it and then relax and then go in like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think to Americans, including myself. Scenically,
Scenically.
it looks better. Because I will say that, like, when I first saw Eating Like This, I thought it looked like caveman. I was like, what the monster is happening?
Yeah. But
it's much more sensible, for sure.
I mean, my sister-in-law is American, and we've had to retrain her.
takes a while.
She's doing very well. She's doing very well. She's a rescue sister-in-law, and she's doing very, very well. She came with some very bad habits. Now she can use a knife and fork, so we're pleased.
And when I do that back in the States, I feel very European. You know how people are like, do you still say basil? I'm like, yeah, I still say basil, but look at this.
Look at this knife and fork. So yeah, I think if I was on, say, a date or something like that, and somebody pointed at me with their knife, that would... That would be it.
Do a runner.
Yeah, could be Charlize Theron. I'd be like, sorry, love. I mean, you're not bad looking and all that, and you know, you're independent, and you've got your own car and house, but...
This isn't going to work.
I'd like to put a sneak preview into Zoe's priorities. Good looking, own car, and a house.
Yeah.
You can live in the car as long as
on the priority triangle, though, none of them, all eclipsed by knife and fork use.
Knife and fork use. Actually, top of my priority list always has been ability to be able to carry me out of a burning house. That's what I look for in a lady.
Got to live your truth.
Strong shoulders.
I keep trying to do the fireman's lift with my wife and failing. I think I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Fighters lift. Come on. Women can be fire people too.
Firefighters lift. Well, Zoe was doing a gig the other day and your fire alarm went off because I was there in the audience. What happened there? Because you kept joking about it and then you were like, no, actually, I probably should evacuate.
Yes. So, like I say, this is not my building and I'm not a fae with its quirks and idiosyncrasies. So it was the first time the fire alarm had gone off and I was like, actually, I don't really know what to do because I'm on the 8th floor here, which is quite nice. It's sort of a window on the world. But I was like, I don't know what to do. Thankfully, in the age of COVID, there's a WhatsApp group for the building. So the committee were on it straight away and turned out it was somebody trespassing in the underground car park. There was no fire. But here's an interesting little anecdote for you. Recently, I've been smelling smoke that isn't there, which it can be one of three things: brain tumor, stroke, or it means you've had you could have had COVID and got over it, and it's affected you. It's quite a common thing now that people are smelling cigarette smoke that isn't there, and I get it all the time. So I think I might have had it previously, and then this is what's occurring. So I'm constantly smelling smoke anyway at the moment, and then the fire alarm's got off, and I'm like. I'm like a demented hound around the
My neighbour favours a high quality of wheat, and so I thought I was having some kind of stroke for a good few weeks when we moved in here, but it's just coming through the vents.
Weed?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's, yeah. It's like, it's fruity. It's like, are you hungry? I'm really hungry. Are you hungry?
I can't smell weeds.
At really weird times of the day as well. She's really cool.
You can't smell weed at all, Mickey.
I mean, if someone sat next to me and I know what it is, then I'll be like, oh yeah, I can kind of
identify
it. You know, when you're walking down the street and someone goes, oh, someone's having a nice relaxed time. And I'm like, wow, what are they doing?
Oh my God. I mean, where I live at the moment, I am passively stoned the entire time.
What, Brighton?
Brighton is just, it's just lit with weed. It's constant, yeah.
I think, you know what a deal breaker is, and this is a real sort of like politician's answer, but I think it's like if they don't tip the staff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like if you... if you're like mean to the wait staff, you don't leave a good tip, but you know, because having been in the service industry for so long, it's like you can tell something about the person. It's a little bit like you've not worked in the industry, or you don't have sympathy, or you think that they don't deserve it because whatever reason. It's very telling.
I'm with you on that one. I'm with you. I hear you, sister. Because I used to waitress for a long time as well, And I've got a friend who's incredibly wealthy, very, 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 very posh, and tips appallingly. I want to say 8% if you're lucky.
Oh, it's the ones with money that are the worst, because it's like they've got it, but they're choosing to discriminate or elevate themselves above. You know what I mean? Like, would you...
So if we're talking romantic deal breakers, I do have to interrupt myself to tell you that the cat has gone in the cat litter behind me. He's an indoor cat at the moment and furious, so he has to poo indoors and he's going to make the most noise, so I apologize in advance.
How is his
that
little...
is a deal breaker for someone. Tough shit.
What sort of noise is he going to make, Mickey? Just sort of sit there going, I hate shitting inside.
Ooh, don't look at me!
Fucking ain't shitting inside. What do you think?
He does have a I need a poo noise, and he wanders around the house just going, oh, like he's full. He's too full. Like he's eating too much.
Does your cat ever do like a real zoom, like after toilet going?
Oh yeah, go scatter cat afterwards. Like
yeah. Sometimes I feel like there's like a poo stuck on the back and they're trying to like outrun their shit. Do you know what I mean?
Or they're just much lighter because something... The size of some stuff that the cat makes is very disproportionate.
Cat
to...
poo is like proportionally speaking. It's like I wish I did that on a daily basis. Feel amazing.
I want to say to him, "What have you been eating?" Even though I am the one that feeds him.
You so literally, you know.
But my deal breaker, and it's not a funny answer, but it is true, is if someone doesn't like animals, I don't understand them. If someone's I'm not really bothered about animals, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Who have you killed?
They clearly don't have any empathy. Yeah.
If you combine our answers, it's they don't like service dogs.
That's it. Yeah. We'll punch a blind guide dog for the blind. Mind you, at the moment, if I see a Labrador with a bib on that says I'm working, I'm like, you lucky fucker, stop rubbing it in.
Yeah. Oh, you've got a job.
I read an article that said that service dogs were depressed during the pandemic because they don't get to go out and do anything. And I'm like, oh, this is information I don't need. The pandemic is making helper pets sad.
Does it explain why Zoe's wearing a Labrador onesie and wearing a little green bib?
Yeah, I'm working.
Jobs.
Please don't heavy pet me. I'm working.
That's such a good Halloween costume.
No, they're supposed to be scary. American Halloween costumes are supposed to be scary.
All right, I will not continue to be attacked in this manner. Vic Slayton, call off your dogs. I will dress up like Liam Gallagher or Laura from Little House on the Prairie if I want to. It's Halloween. They're all fantasies.
I bet British costumes exist for those to somehow try and make them sexy as well.
You just know
that exists.
Well, my wife, when she talks about Halloween growing up in Scotland, I was like, well, what did you used to dress up as? And she'll be like, bin bags.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, bin bags. Yeah.
Well, what are you like? Were you like bin men or like the blob or something? She's like, no, just bin bags.
Yeah. I used to say in bin bags that we were the a representation of the 3-day week in the 70s when rubbish didn't get collected.
Zoe, for the Halloween fans out there, how did you make that sexy?
I cut out the nipple
where the holes were.
Yes, in America, that would be too much, of course, Kate, wouldn't it? Because you can't show a nipple in America.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We are a Puritan nation.
I don't even think Americans have nipples, but
no, they're all just got those crosses on them.
Not anymore. Not since Reagan.
Yeah, just pixelated out.
This is taking a turn. Okay. Meeting famous people. Has anyone had a good, bad, or awkward celebrity encounter? Apart from yourselves, so you don't count. Sorry, not in this scenario.
I have a bit of a one.
Okay.
Like when I was cater waitering in New York City, one of the events that I cater waitered was like a sort of.
Stop pretending that's a thing.
He's working for Dr. Seuss.
Don't be mad that you don't say it over here yet. All right.
An American waiter.
Cater waiter. Cooking it and serving it?
No, it's just catering companies. So you could wait tables in a restaurant. right? But you could also wait tables for a catering company, which is like external events.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like silver service.
Exactly. We used to have to do silver service, like the big trays and like, you know, do a bit of that and everything. And there was a star-studded party that I was cater-waitering. And the woman I most fancied in the world at that point was Gina Gershon, because I had seen
Yeah. Such a good film.
So I saw that she was there at the party and I was instantly like full of adrenaline. And I was like, oh, and like Will Ferrell was there, Harrison Ford, Bon Jovi, don't care.
No.
Right. Gina Gershon is here. So I went back to the kitchen. And every time I tried to get to Gina Gershon, people would clear what was on my tray off, like, cause it was hors d'oeuvres, and they'd empty it. And I couldn't get to Gina Gershon. So like on the third go round, I went back to the kitchen. I was like, load it up, please. And it was like little smoked mozzarella pizzas. And I did one of these where I like put my arm like way up high and like just worked my way through the crowd to the banquet that she was socializing at. And I was like, smoked mozzarella, mini pizza.
And, so smooth.
Obviously in like my memory, the eye contact that she made was like 7 minutes long. In the moment, it was probably like she barely looked at me and it was like a second. But for me, the eye contact that she made, she goes, sure, what was that again? And then she maintained eye contact with me while I went, pizza. And she's like, thank you. And then like maintained eye contact longer. And I scarpered faster than like I've ever gotten away from anything, because even like that tiny like just droplet of attention from Gina Gershon was far too much for me to handle. And she was only nice to me, I'm sure, because I had food.
She's like, I want her to come back with the tray of whatever that is.
I didn't go back all night. I was so scared. I was like, I'm not ready.
In a parallel universe, you're talking about that at your wedding.
When I first met Gina, I was cater waiting. No, honey, it's a thing. It's a thing when you're with a catering company. All right, well, we're not going to do this in front of everyone.
When you used to dream of meeting Gina Gershon, was that what you thought you would say to her? Is that what you...
That was weirdly, precisely, yes.
That's exactly how I planned it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
that's
outstanding. Can anybody compete?
I have a waitering one, similar.
Cater waiter or?
No, proper waiter. in a restaurant. And Amanda Donahoe came in and I had a massive crush on her. I couldn't believe, she walked through the door and I went, oh my God, it's Amanda Donahoe. Oh my God. I had such a huge crush on her and she was utterly charming. And I think they can tell when they're in the company of an overexcited lesbian. there must be something, they're like, oh, here we go, here's another one. So, I mean, I don't know, like, you know, eyes hanging out. And at one point she came up, my friend, I was right behind the bar, quite a posh restaurant, not a posh restaurant, but it was, we used to get quite a lot of celebrities in there of note, really, like sort of Lucian Freud and Helen Mirren and Alexander McQueen. Bowie was in there. That was sort of proper, yeah, poach. But it wasn't a posh restaurant, but it was just cool.
That is better than cater waitering.
It's kind of like, yeah.
Well, I guess we know who's getting the points this round.
Yeah. I'm also jealous.
Saffron Burrows used to come in as well. It was
God, yeah. Like all the lesbian attention.
All the like drop dead gorgeous fucking women.
And Harrison Ford can fuck off.
Yeah, get out of here, Solo. You'll remain Solo tonight, pal, because we're gay.
Come to my cater waitering. I'll take you, Harrison.
So Amanda Donahoe came in and my friend Tristan was pissing himself laughing because he knew I fancied her so much and he was just killing himself laughing because I was all over the place. I was like, oh my God, it's Amanda Donahoe. And at one point she came up to the bar and Tristan was like, go. And I went, can I help it? You know, he's like, damn it. And she went, oh, hello, darling. do you have a match? And I was like, oh, you can't say that to a person with what I'm thinking in my head. And I went, yeah, you and me.
Oh! Oh, no!
Oh, you mean to illuminate your cigarette? I've got some matches.
Yeah. Oh my god! Oh.
I love it.
Oh god, she was beautiful, very very beautiful.
Is that a frog?
And
in
I
banana?
Was fired. No, I wasn't.
I'm not even going to try to beat that, so I'm going to keep mine really quick, because obviously I, like, as a journo and as an arts journo, I have met and interviewed a lot of famous people. It's kind of what I do, guys.
I'm a NBD.
And I was on the phone to Barry Norman, he of film Name a Year, and he spoke to me and I said, wow, you sound just like you do on the telly. And he said, because it's my voice.
Oh, yes.
Ouch.
Yeah. Look at Mickey over there. Burned by Norman.
Yeah. He seems like such a nice man as well.
He was so lovely as well, because a bit later on I asked him if I could call him Baz, and he said, not if you expect me to answer.
Oh,
very much. I think he was teasing me rather than like, please just make this woman fuck off. probably the latter.
Well, unbelievable. We have run out of time, despite getting through next to no balls at all. But
what do you expect with two lesbians on the panel?
We covered bananas, hot dogs, but no balls.
It's not our area of expertise, Vix. It's not our area. We just, yeah,
I don't know, I think you two have handled more phallic stuff than I have.
Probably.
What's inside those bananas? Right, let's go around and talk about what we're doing with our lives while I do the maths, the impossibly simple maths that I make impossibly difficult for myself. Kate McCabe, what are you doing with your life at the moment?
Trying to make all sorts of distance-based fun happen, doing improv and teaching comedy, doing occasional new material gigs, and virtual cocktail sessions. Anything of this nonsense, I'll plug where you can find, which is a Facebook page called Kate McCabe Stuff and Nonsense. It's a good place to start. And then my Twitter handle is Kate McCabe Says.
Amazing. Are you doing anything Leicester Comedy Festival based?
I'm teaching teaching the youth through the project called Laugh Germ. Lucas Kirkby and I have been teaching that for about 4 years. So we're going to be letting kids tell us jokes that they shouldn't be saying, and then we try to say, don't say that on the showcase, because that's post watershed.
Yeah.
And then they do anyway. And then
parents pay up front, do they? Or
yeah, the parents are mad at us by the end.
Amazing. I did a corporate a few weeks ago, and I'm not sure they're gonna pay for it. Invoice up front is what I'm saying.
I did a corporate the other night that was so bad, I had to get naked immediately after it.
You need to pressure wash the shame away.
The hot dog factory.
Yeah, I was like, thank you very much, goodbye, leave meeting, stripped naked, just stood there, went, I need a nice lolly.
Walked into the sea.
It was so bad. I had to take all of my clothes off.
There's some quite big windows behind you, so I'm wondering what the Flats community WhatsApp group thought of that action.
Here, they get to see all sorts. They see, well, if they've completed Netflix, they're now watching a middle-aged lady having quite a spectacular midlife crisis.
Oh, brilliant.
We're on season one, but I reckon it's going to run.
I did a share aerobics class this morning, which is aerobics to share, but I have no coordination and I live in what is basically a greenhouse, so I'm pretty sure the neighbors had a really good time with me this morning as well. Yeah,
if I could hold back time
and straddle that cannon, straddle.
Yeah, do you remember that was really a brave move in those days
in Lingerie, no less.
That's amazing.
What a woman. Okay. Zoe, are you, apart from the breakdown, what else is happening for you?
I'm having a full-on breakdown. Occasional disappointment. I'm disappointing people on Zoom, maybe one or two times. Disappointing people on Zoom, maybe one or two nights a week. And then getting naked afterwards because the shame is so horrific. crying on Zoom meetings. And weirdly, I've also got a quiz show on BBC Two at the moment, which I can see on other people's televisions through my window sometimes.
You're like, it's me!
And believe me, the irony of watching myself on a television on a stranger's screen from somebody else's flat that I don't own whilst having a breakdown is marvellous.
And
it's
naked.
So many, there is so naked, eating a strawberry split lollipop to get over the depression of a disappointing corporate Zoom gig. There's so many things happening. It's such an exciting time to be alive.
Can you imagine if they switched it off halfway through, though? I'd go around
the
house.
They went, like... what is this shit? Turned it off, turned round, and then saw me watching them. But I'm naked, eating a strawberry split like that, going, I'm having a time of my life.
And they just wordlessly switch it back on.
She or just start putting the remote control at the window. Like,
Oh, outstanding. And lovely Mickey Noonan, what are you doing at the moment?
I would like to know, before I say about what I'm up to, I would like to know, one, Zoe, where can people find you on the internet? And two, have you mastered the pistol squat yet?
Oh, yes. They can find, yes, thank you. So they can find me on Instagram at Zoe Lyons Comedy, I think. And on Twitter at Zoe Lyons. And yes, you mentioned that because I tweeted the other day that I did actually find myself in the kitchen yesterday. I said the words out loud, fuck it, I'm going to teach myself how to do a pistol squat. And turns out they're quite hard.
What is it?
Pistol squat is a one-legged squat where you go down on one leg with your other leg straight out in front of you. Very much like a sort of, like a ninja dragon.
Are you entering the Russian military? Why are you doing this?
Listen, Kate, I kid you not, in my one night drunken, I bought I've got a fully formed pull-up bar in my bedroom. Like it's like a frame. I'm like a divorcee dad. Oh, is that what you've got there? Yes. You've also got a dick bar on that as well.
A dick bar? Yeah.
No, a dick bar.
Yeah. No, you keep saying dick bar.
Is that yours?
I've been known to use it, but it's more the other halves.
I use
it more to dry the sheets. It's really good.
Well, you know, some people learned French during this. Some people learned crafting. I taught myself to do pull-ups. It just seems I'm living like I'm sort of in a sort of high security prison.
You're like Robert De Niro in Cape Fear. You're going to
Very much. I'm sort of making shanks in the bathroom and making moonshine in the kitchen and then doing pull-ups in the bedroom. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
In the right order. Mix, what are you doing?
You can listen to me on a weekly, sometimes twice weekly basis on the Standard Issue podcast.
You can listen to it all day, every day, if you want. I accidentally did that the other day because I had one on in the background and then it just bled into like 4 hours more. And so you're welcome.
Are you okay? Do we need to send help?
Yeah, send Zoe round. She's handling life.
I'm handling it. Nailing it, literally.
We'll do the pistol squats or whatever.
Pistol squats. Give me a month, I will nail a pistol squat for no other reason.
You can do a pull-up. It was on my to-do list last year. My one thing on 2020 to-do list. Just teach myself, be able to do a pull-up. I can do a chin-up, but I can't do a pull-up.
Pull-ups are hard.
I still can't do a pull-up.
You have to, okay, make it this, okay, from one woman to another, it's harder for us because of our upper body strength and the way our muscles are. But if you really focus on your back muscles when you're doing it, it becomes a lot easier. It's sort of visualization. You're welcome. Chin-ups, piece of piss, can bash out 10 of them. Pull-ups, yeah, they take a long time, but I can do them now. I don't know why I ever thought that would be a good skill. As a comedian, you should probably spend this time writing or doing a podcast or developing something. Not me.
Imagine if you were working hard at it all day and disappointing people on Zoom, though. You wouldn't be like sea swimming, you'd just be walking out into it never to
return. In fact, I should end my disappointing corporate gigs by going, that might have been shit. But I can do a chin-up, so...
You should.
Yeah.
People are impressed by that.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I think you can pistol squat your way out of any situation.
I've seen Zoe do two shows in the last 7 days and neither of them were shit and you didn't cry once. So
thank you.
That's 100% success rate.
Yeah.
I just feel that she doesn't feel she can be vulnerable around you, Vix. You can find us at Standard Issue UK or you can follow me at Mixed Noon and thank you.
Is that across all social channels?
Oh, God knows what I am. Like, don't follow. Well, actually, do follow me on Instagram. I'm kind of half charting the fact that I've gone fucking silver at 43 and I've decided to just brazen and balls it out. And
she looks like a fantastic, sexy X-Man.
It does look beautiful. X-Woman. Absolutely. Yeah, looks stunning. Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. It's got a whole range of textures that I've never experienced before. And I generally have blue hands from the purple shampoo, but otherwise it's all going fine. So yeah, I am at Mixter Noonan on Instagram or at Grey Expectations.
Brilliant.
Nice.
On Insta.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you everybody for listening to Comedy Arcade. Thank you all so much for doing this. It's been really fun and therapeutic. Thanks for listening to the Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us anywhere you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh and this is What's Upset You Now. The USP is it's only 15 minutes. The eagle-eared amongst you might have noticed that I didn't actually announce the winner because I was too busy having a lot of fun talking about pistol squats. So for anybody who is keeping score, the winner was Zoe Lyons with a ginormous, exciting 24, but it was pretty neck and neck between Kate and Mickey, who got 17 and 18 respectively. What an episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.